Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy joins us on a Thursday morning. And, of course, Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also Journal of a Duck Midwife, and Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to both of you. Looks like another beautiful day. And I thought I would talk about a topic that is dear to the hearts of anybody who has an internet connection on a computer, iPhone, or any other kind of a smartphone, watch, what have you, that depends on connectivity to the real world. And the impetus for talking about this came from a friend of mine who called me a couple of weeks ago and said to me that she'd had the worst day in her life. And I thought immediately that her husband, who was has been sick for a while, might have gotten worse and even, oh my gosh, died. Her dog, who's very old, might have gotten sick, and who knows, maybe had to be put down. I couldn't believe, I was really worried that something had happened to her. And then I found out the reason she was saying this is because her entire internet universe had crashed. She no longer had a computer. Her iPhone wasn't working. She could not use her landline. She actually had a landline, and her television wasn't working, and it took her hours and hours and hours to get all her systems up and running again. And she said she thinks she ate her way through her kitchen while she was on hold or trying to deal with the tech who finally came to her house and figured out what was wrong. And it occurred to me that so many of us who find ourselves, as we have for many years now, relying on the internet to connect us to whatever we have to do, and indeed find that even if we didn't want to use the internet, communication, getting tickets or appointments or learning about our medical tests, they all depend on being part of the internet. And when it no longer is functioning, we feel we might as well be sitting, in an island, a tiny island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean for all the good it does us, because we're not going to be connected to the world at all. And I thought, there has to be some way of getting through that period of not having any kind of internet service without having a total meltdown. And I thought maybe I would just sort of try out some ideas to see what they really worked or not. And, one of the things that occurred to me is that if you don't have an internet, this is probably not the first time it's happened, and when you are getting ready to call your provider, you should at least be prepared to be on hold for a very long time, and during that period of time, find something to do so you're not simply, chewing on your pencil out of sheer frustration. One of the things that happens is that we tend to sit, and we don't move because we're holding onto the phone, and our muscles become tight because we're frustrated, and one should really make a point of trying to move around when you are waiting for your service to come up. The third thing is that you should find something to do to distract yourself. Have something to read, or maybe go through your checkbook, or do something with your hands. One of my friends said that she knits when she's waiting for some kind of provider to figure out what's wrong with your internet. And the other thing that one could do is also to complain. If you have another phone or somebody's in the house, simply talking about your total frustration, can certainly relieve some of the tension that you're experiencing. And finally, don't eat your way through that whole process like my friend did, because all you're going to do is get up from that chair when everything is working and realize that you may be 2 or 3 pounds heavier because all you did was eat. If you are in that situation, know that if you have a small amount of carbohydrate, maybe like an English muffin, that's all. Ahead of time, you will be making more serotonin, and the serotonin will make you calmer and perhaps easier to endure the frustrations that lie ahead while you're waiting for your computer to be turned on or your cell phone to start working again, or even your television to start working.
All right, so these are all great, and these are all make a fabulous comedy routine. But what has happened, legitimately, is people are so, quote, connected, like their entire houses are connected, okay? So they can't turn on the lights. They can't, basically, they can't flush their toilets.
Right.
They can't get onto their bank account. They can't
right.
get, there's, you know, we have to find, one of the solutions has to be to invoke the, step away. And in my view, for better or for worse, the bigger issue is that people don't have a parallel analog life. And they should.
But you're right. No, absolutely, Joy. But the problem is we often are not given the choice. For example, we are part of a comprehensive medical system in the Boston area. And our communication with our health providers, be it finding out what the latest blood test is or when you might be scheduled for your mammogram or what have you, is all through your computer.
That's
and
true. I know, that's
what I'm
saying.
I dare you to try to get a hold of somebody by telephone.
Oh, don't dare me.
Just get their number.
It's how I spend my days trying to find humans, because the instructions that come out in both, you know, if it's invented by a computer, it doesn't necessarily, it's not able to, if it's artificial intelligence, it's not necessarily able to, you know, calculate certain nuances. No, I totally understand that. What I'm saying is, all right, let's say you're down. Let's say you've got no provider. Let's say you can't do that. Then, you know, usually, and this is where you have to have some sort of, in my view, analog life, where you can wait. Like, people no longer have the spacers where they can wait a couple hours to find out. It just becomes, that's all.
You're
so,
right. No, you're absolutely right. And as... You know, as I said to my friend, that you felt that your life was over, but you know, it still went on. And all the really important things in your life, your dog, not in that order, your dog, your husband, your children and your grandchildren, what have you, they're alive, they're well, they're fine, they were just as happy and healthy this minute as they were before you knew your whole system crashed. And you're right, we have to talk sense into ourselves and realize that the sun is shining, or maybe not, but it really is not related to whether your computer is working or not, and that it's still possible to have a conversation with somebody and even write a letter and put a stamp on it and have it communicate that way to somebody else or pay a bill by mail. It is possible to do that. But as I said, it's like we're becoming... Okay, it's like we're so used to electricity that when there's a blackout...
Which happens here quite
from a bad storm, a hurricane, blizzard, we feel helpless. I think that is part of the situation.
Right, and it happens here numerous, you know, it doesn't happen as much in the cities. You can count that on it. But around here, you know, if you don't have a generator, you do not have electricity sometimes for days. And,
That's right. And
you don't have a computer. And, you know, the fun thing is when the power company says, oh, just go online. It's like, yeah. And we happen to run a radio station because we have a big generator.
That's right.
But these
right.
are things.
So, I mean, and so I think that's part of it, that we don't have any mental backup to help us when we find ourselves in that situation. I mean, if you know a hurricane is coming or a blizzard is coming, you can say, okay, I'm going to make sure that I have food that I can, you know, eat without having to cook it, or that I have candles or lamps or what have you, or generators, so that I can get through this. But tell me, Jill, what do we have to rely on if our internet system is down? What warning do we have? If we get a warning, oh, something's not going to be working, what do we do?
I know. I mean, my point is that a lot of people don't even know what to do, can't even conceive of their power being out. So they don't have phones that you can plug in. No, this is the things that you're talking about, vis-a-vis candles and you know, and a couple of batteries and a transistor radio. Try telling that to someone who's like 26 or 35, and that's the important thing. That's my point.
Right.
And that's
yes, you're absolutely right.
That's the same group that can't do anything without their phones. And I'm not trying to be unfriendly, because I know that your friend isn't in that group. But
no, you're absolutely right. Look. You know, because, you know, we live part-time in Florida, we get these hurricane warnings. They actually came out a month ago. Prepare yourself for the hurricanes, you know, that starts in July. Have you ever gotten a warning from your internet provider? Prepare yourself for an internet crash. You should have this. You should have a landline or some way of communicating if you have to. I mean, what if you have somebody sick in the house and you have no way of making a phone call?
Yeah.
You know,
No, but
people say, why do you have a landline? I said, well, you know, I have a landline because sometimes my cell phone may not be working.
That's
well,
true.
Well, here at the radio station, not only do we have one jack here, that's a specified jack that is a dedicated landline in case everything else goes out. But here, as well as my house, because I need to communicate, I have a backup internet system, and then I also have Starlink, which bypasses all the cable companies and is done directly by satellite.
The point is that we are old and B, know to do this, and a lot of people are going to be unpleasantly surprised because they've got no backup. They've got no connection mentally to know that they need a backup, and that's.
But where do you get that information? Why doesn't somebody send out something? Internet crash preparedness.
Why the same way
you get a blizzard or hurricane preparedness.
Why doesn't a doctor tell you that this medication you're about to take has the following? For depression.
That you can find because it's a package insert. And if you have a magnifying glass and some patience, you can read that.
You know, Judy,
but I don't see any kind of, an internet provider. Do you ever get a notice saying, well, you know, when your modem is down or what have you and you're not having any internet?
No, you don't. And do you ever think for one second, and I'm sorry, do you ever think that might be on purpose? Because there's no other reason for it not to be a factor. And do you ever think that it might be on purpose that people have been told, oh, no, you don't need a this, which
That's
are the
right.
first five things that you put in a survival kit? I don't know. Call me crazy.
That's right. Well, I think this is something, I hope it generates, pardon the pun, a lot of feedback, as it were.
Very wise. And worst case, you can always still figure out how to make a baked potato in your bonfire. All right.
That's right. Okay. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy here on Robin Hood Radio Thursday mornings and also online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.